Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Now, the show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Zing Zang Cocktail in a Can, Wind Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They lead all the way around, and the 0-2 pitch.
All right, that's what happened the last time the Red Sox were on the field. We all know it. Walk-off by Franchi Cordero to sweep the Seattle Mariners. Red Sox have won five in a row, entering the opener of a three-game series tonight against the Chicago White Sox in Chicago. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Hour. Unlike last night, all baseball tonight until 7 o'clock. In fact, we've had full shows now, or will have full shows every night from 6 to 7 p.m. for as long as the Red Sox are playing meaningful games, which brings me to this, tonight's question. Let me ask all of you, because frankly, I've read and heard some things in the last couple of days that have me wondering if people are jumping the gun a little bit. I saw this tweet, Jim Murray, I saw this tweet from Peter Abraham of the Globe today, okay? The best records in baseball since Alex Cora shaved his beard. And I'm going to give you the top five in baseball, starting with number five. Five best records in baseball since Alex Cora shaved his beard, which, if you remember, was going into that Atlanta series about 2 weeks ago. New York Mets, 9-5. Houston Astros, 9-5. The Yankees, third, 10-5. The Padres, second, 9-4. And number one, the team with the best record in baseball over the last 2 weeks, your beloved Boston Red Sox, 9-3 in the last 12 games. They swept the Mariners. They're now within three games of 500. There's only one team, I think it is, between them and the second wild card spot, or them and the Blue Jays. I'll double check that. But regardless, the Red Sox leapfrogged a couple of teams in the wild card standings over the weekend, and they are now very much in the cluster of teams for that wild card spot. That's what I'll call it. The cluster of teams for that wild card spot. Right now, the two wild card teams are the Angels and Tampa Bay. The Red Sox are five out. They're 2.5 behind the Guardians and the White Sox. I almost said the Indians. I can't. It's just an old habit dies hard. Here's my real question for you. Do you believe that they've turned a corner? Do you believe the worst is now behind them? That's really my question for all of you tonight as it pertains to the baseball team. And I want to get the thoughts of Jim Murray. I want to get the thoughts of Jimmy Stewart. More importantly, I want to hear from you. Do you believe that they've now turned the corner? That they've figured out what they needed to figure out as far as their offense is concerned, as far as their rotation and bullpen are concerned, and that the worst is now in their rearview mirrors, and the Red Sox now are going to play representative, competitive, dare I call it, playoff-caliber baseball for the rest of the season. Do you believe that as a fan? Jimmy Stewart, to you?
Yes.
Jim Murray, do you?
No, I think they're closer to what you saw earlier in the season. I think recently, I mean, let's not think. I know they've beat up on mostly garbage teams. They've been home where they always typically hit well. But I still look at the team. They're short, two good arms in the bullpen. You need a real closer. You need a real right fielder who can hit. You need a real first baseman. You need another starter. And I think some of their bats in core can only hide their flaws for so long before this all goes to hell again.
Okay, and Murray, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're wrong or Jimmy Stewart that you're wrong. You're entitled to believe whatever you want to believe. Let me read to you today what Peter Abraham wrote in the Boston Globe. Okay, and this is sort of what triggered the thought. But again, there was an off day yesterday, which is always a good opportunity. I always learned this when I was covering baseball. The off days really are a great opportunity to take, you know, an aerial view of the situation, a big picture view, and get an assessment of really who they are and where they are. So the Red Sox are now 3 games under .500. Do you realize they are now in run differential, the all-important run differential? They're a +1 on the season, which I don't say as a compliment. I say that as, you know, if you believe in the whole run differential stat and the idea of that measures the potency of a team, what that stat is telling you is the Red Sox have been a .500 club to this point. Their record is sub .500, which means they've lost more than they should have to this stage, even given their performance. I'm not saying lost more than they should have based on your expectation. I'm saying based on what their run differential is. And I think that fact is largely attributable to the performance of your bullpen. I think that that is the number one reason. The bullpen's blown too many games, which is why you're still under .500, despite basically an even run differential. You should be a .500 team. The other thing I find comical is that people want to say the Red Sox have turned a corner when they're still 3 games under .500. You haven't accomplished anything yet. You're not there yet. And I doubt you're going to sweep the White Sox here, which means you're going to come back to Fenway Park over the weekend still under .500. If the Red Sox can take 2 out of 3 in Chicago, that's a win. The games here against the White Sox were all close. The Red Sox blew a couple of those games, including an absolute killer on Saturday of that weekend. That weekend series and Sunday, for that matter. But an absolute killer of a game that they lost. You take 2 out of 3 against the White Sox, that's a win. Don't look for a sweep, is all I'm telling you. Don't get greedy. Then you come home against Baltimore, and I said several days ago, the next 2 weeks might very well decide their season. They had the Mariners in here. They will then get the Orioles for 5. They will have, who do they have after that? The Reds for a couple of games, and then they go out to Oakland. And the A's are a crap bag team.
Reds and Oakland, they should sweep both those series. Those teams are garbage.
I mean, so when you add all of that up, what I'm saying is by the end of next week, you should have turned the corner. That, I think, can happen. But don't tell me that you're there yet, because I don't think you're there yet. So Peter Abraham in the Globe writes, and now I'm reading directly, who are the real Red Sox? Are they the team that was hard to watch for the first month of the season, or the group that has been tearing it up since, winning 9 of their last 12? The easy answer is somewhere in the middle. My answer, writes Abraham, is closer to the high side because of their starting pitching and the potential to get more from the offense. Okay, that's what Peter Abraham wrote about his overall assessment of the Red Sox. My answer, he says, is closer to the high side because of their starting pitching and the potential to get more from the offense. Now, look, all I told you at the beginning of the year was I thought the Red Sox were a playoff team. My opinion on that has changed a little bit based on what I've seen here in the early part of the year, but I do think they're playing better. I do think they can turn a corner in the next couple of weeks. And here's the only important part, is that sometime in the next, call it 2 to 4 weeks, obviously you assume that you get back in it by the end of next week, but if you can still be within striking distance by the time the trading deadline rolls around, everything can change. And there is some reason to be optimistic about the prognosis if you want to look down at AAA and say, well, they might have a couple of pitchers down there that could conceivably come and help them out. Maybe some guys like Tristan Casas get called up in the second half of the year. There could be help at Pawtucket. If you want to believe all that, you can as well. The big one to me is the trade deadline. You made a significant acquisition at the trade deadline last year, albeit 2 weeks after the deadline before he played. Kyle Schwarber changed the trajectory of that team, and he certainly changed it in October when he was a significant factor. Now, defensively, the Red Sox never got better at first base, But the lefty bat in that lineup helped them a great deal. So do I think that the Red Sox have turned a corner? My answer would be not yet. Do I think they're going to in the next 10 days, call it? My answer is I expect that, yes, and I certainly hope so, because if they don't, then that's a really bad sign. So I want to hit on that. I want to hit on Trevor's story and some interesting information, analytics, dare I say, that I looked up regarding Trevor's story, because I heard Tyler Milliken mention this on the midday show the other day about what kind of player Story was relative to Xander Bogaerts. I still think Xander Bogaerts is a superior player, but I did stumble on something that I thought was interesting and I think may influence the Red Sox decision as it pertains to what they do at shortstop. David Ortiz weighed in on Xander Bogaerts and how the Red Sox are handling that. Chris Cotillo of Mass Live caught up with Ortiz at his charity golf tournament at Braeburn yesterday. Asked him about that. So we've got a bunch of things to catch up on here in the Baseball Hour. Not to mention, I see a caller on the line already. Donnie and Norton wants to talk about the Josh Donaldson situation with the Yankees and Tim Anderson. Donaldson, as many of you know, suspended for a game for a comments he made to Tim Anderson of the White Sox on the field. My real question is, could something like this really help the Red Sox? In other words, does Donaldson being an a-hole potentially disrupt what the Yankees have going there? It's another thing to consider here tonight. On the Baseball Hour, we'll get to your calls and Trevor's story.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So like in Atlanta, you know, we could kind of feel the momentum shifting a little bit, and I think we've ridden that out, you know, to this point, and we're looking to do the same, and it's come from all aspects of the game, pitching, defense, offense, all of it, and yeah, we're looking to continue that.
That's Trevor's story. Second baseman of the Red Sox talking about the momentum shift that took place in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. I think Story's right. I think that's where it started. As much as we joke about Alex Cora shaving his beard to change the fortunes of the team, what really started happening is they started to hit. They started to hit. And specifically, Story started to hit. Which brings me to a couple of things, because I have said this over and over again, that to me, the Red Sox can absolutely keep Trevor Story at second base and still afford both Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. To me, they can pay them all. And you can tell me all you want about all the numbers in baseball and what have you. I think Xander Bogaerts is a superior player to Trevor Story. Jimmy Stewart, do you agree? Do you think Bogaerts is a better player than Trevor Story?
Yes, 100%. Bogaerts is way better than Story.
Jim Murray, do you feel that way?
Yeah, because my eyes work.
Okay. I feel the same way. But I wonder. And more importantly, I wonder what the Red Sox are going to use to make the determination. So first, let me just read you quickly an email I received from a listener today.
But Maz, with the Red Sox, is it about who's the better player or who's the better value?
Good question, Jimmy. Good question. And so it's probably better value. But, you know, before I get to the email, let me just tell you this. I did a search on Baseball Reference, and they have a database there that rated players by WAR at shortstop. And we all know that WAR is a stat that many people in baseball now rely on to give the overall value of a player. And basically it measures your value relative to the average replacement at your position. Okay, it's wins above replacement. In other words, how many more games you'd win with that player versus someone else that was average at that position.
It's how a lot of the BBWAA vote for the MVP.
Exactly right. which to me defeats the purpose. If we're just going to do it by war, what do we need voters for? Why do we just have to use a math formula? And the obvious, you know, I couldn't even tell you what the entire formula of war is. But in any case, I just think there are a lot of variables with players that you cannot factor in. Xander Bogaerts' career changed in 2018. That's when Alex Cora came to Boston and Xander Bogaerts became what I would consider a perennial all-star. And Bogaerts, since that time, actually ranks behind Trevor Story in war at shortstop. So then I thought, okay, well, that's a four-year sample, five-year sample, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. So this is the fifth year. And then I thought, okay, well, what about the last couple of years? Because it feels like Story has slipped. Trevor Story and Bogaerts have the same war starting in 2020. So over that period of time, despite the difference in their stats, this formula is telling us that when you add offense and defense and everything else, that Trevor Story is basically the same player, as a better player than Xander Bogaerts, at least as good. And as we all know, the salary is now comparable in that Story's making 23.3, Bogaerts is making 20. But if Bogaerts wants a new deal that pays him 30, then we come to Jimmy Stewart's point, which is Bogaerts at 30 or Story at 23.3. And if the Red Sox use war as their metric, which I fear they might, then Trevor Story is not just a better value than Xander Bogaerts, he's a better player.
Gross.
Okay, that's what that would tell you. I don't believe that.
Thank you.
I want them both. And I don't love Story as a player. I never have. He's been great the last week. But if you put him at second base with Bogaerts and Devers and you know, Tristan Cassis as your DH or first baseman or what have you, then I'm fine with that. But I don't think he is a centerpiece guy on a championship caliber team. And when I say centerpiece, I mean in your lineup. Okay, I might be wrong. I'm just telling you what I believe. The question is, what do you believe as a fan? And then we'll tell you a little bit later in the show what David Ortiz said about the Xander Bogaerts situation in the last 24 hours. He had a charity golf event yesterday and addressed it there. So 617-779-0985. Now I want to hear from you. Jacob's in a car. Jacob, what do you got?
Hey, how's it going? So how much do you include the weather as an influence in this run here? Because I'm starting to notice an increase in offense across the league in general. And you might sneer at this, but is it a coincidence that as it got warmer here, that they've been scoring?
Okay, so Jacob, didn't they also play in some warmer weather at the beginning of the season?
Not as warm as it is now.
Okay, but again, other teams hit early in the year, didn't they?
Not necessarily.
Some of them did. The Yankees hit. So I don't think it's all weather related. Let's not give the Red Sox some sort of out there on the weather. That's a cop out. They didn't hit, period. Okay, they did not hit. Early in the year. They played a series down in Tampa early in the year. They didn't hit at all. They played another one in Toronto, which is a dome. They didn't really hit there either. So I'm not going to give the Red Sox the benefit of the doubt on the weather. And the other thing is, if that is true, then they probably should have pitched better than they did. So I'm not going to give the Red Sox any sort of latitude on the offense just based on the weather. The fact is that everybody has to play in April. And what do you think the weather is going to be like in October? You think all of a sudden it's going to be nice and toasty so you can hack away at opposing pitchers? Because I don't think that that's the case at all. So, Jim Murray, there's a call on the screen here about the Josh Donaldson suspension. The listener says he has a question. Should
sure.
we take it?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Let's see. Donnie and Norton, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. So, I'm thinking everyone knows that Donaldson is a bit of a joker. I think Major League Baseball reacted a little bit quickly in this one-game suspension. I don't see how they could have come to any conclusion for anything that, like, he really said that was racist. Like, if this was true, what he said, hey, I joke around, how does Major League Baseball come to that conclusion?
Okay, so, Donnie, I would tell you that Josh Donaldson's reputation absolutely worked against him here, and I can't say that I have a problem with that part of it. So I told you my concern, my question in the Josh Donaldson story doesn't really concern the intent of what he said. Although you can certainly, you know, and I'm not telling you I'm defending him because I'm not. Josh Donaldson has a reputation of being a bleep stirrer during his entire career with the major leagues. There's a reason he's moved around from team to team. Now, if you want to look at it as a Red Sox fan and say, this guy's going to blow up the Yankees, here's what I would tell you. I think the Yankees needed a guy like Josh Donaldson. That team was comatose last year. They played with no edge, with no intensity. They had a crap load of talent, and they pretty much mailed it in every day. I mean, they really were in a coma for a long, long period of time. And even though they made the playoffs, that Yankees team underachieved badly last year. So what did they do? They addressed some of their defense. They got rid of some of the dead weight and some of the laziness in a guy like Gary Sanchez. They brought in Donaldson, who's always played with a fire up his ass. And I'm not telling you I like the player or I like what he stands for. But I think the Yankees needed a dose of someone who had a certain edge to his game.
But what do you mean? Like, what do you mean stands for? Like, do you think he's a racist now? Like,
No. I think Donaldson is one of these.
He's a red ass.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy that rips apart the fabric of a team. I just think he's one of these guys that puts a premium on being a hard ass over everything else. And there's a reason why he wears out his welcome in every clubhouse he's been in, Murray. He's a lot to take. He's a lot to take.
But they could use some edge. That they haven't even fired that manager is mind-blowing.
Okay,
so
this is what I'm saying. The Yankees needed edge. They needed edge, and Donaldson has that. Now, his comments to Tim Anderson, if you're asking my opinion, I think Josh Donaldson knew exactly what he was saying. And I think Josh Donaldson can play dumb and do whatever else, but the fact is Tim Anderson doesn't like him, and what Josh Donaldson should just do is play hard and keep his mouth shut. But he can't. Kenny's in Boston. Kenny, go.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm black. I'm from Boston. My perspective is if you're going to call yourself or see yourself in the same light as Jackie Robinson and you're a slightly above average player, I think Donaldson is right. That's the joke. Donaldson is calling you Jackie as a joke. He said he was joking. When you have a miscommunication and you go to the source, and you communicate with the source says, hey, no, that's not what I meant. Here's how I meant it. They both got their, you know, explanations in. I think it was a joke. I don't think it was racist in any way, shape, or form. He's not Jackie Robinson. He's not bringing the fun back. He's a slightly above average player. It was a joke, and I think Donaldson got him.
Yeah, and look, I can't speak to exactly what the intent was. And for people who don't know, he and Anderson had a back and forth, and Donaldson claims that he was citing a magazine story from a year or two ago where Tim Anderson said he regarded himself as a modern-day Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, today's Jackie Robinson in the big leagues.
Correct. So that when they got into this thing on the field, Josh Donaldson said to him, okay, Jackie, whatever you say, as if you're the next Jackie Robinson, and claims that they had a discussion in the past to that effect. He might be telling the truth. I would tell you he's still an idiot. He's still an idiot. Because Josh Donaldson is constantly trying to agitate. This is what he does. And again, I would tell you, if you're asking me do I want him on the Red Sox, my answer is no. No, I don't. I think Josh Donaldson ultimately wears out his welcome very quickly and moves on from one place to the next. So in this particular market on that team, I don't think that he's a good fit. Okay, there were times when the Red Sox could use a guy like that, although I think you can find guys who are feisty and competitive who don't necessarily wear out their welcome in their own clubhouse. Donaldson did. So I'm just not a huge Donaldson fan. I never have been. I think guys like that wear you out.
Feisty and competitive, huh? Like Kyle Schwarber. Shame they didn't bring him back.
Yeah, except that he's not the kind of guy, Murray. Schwarber to me is...
feisty fun.
Yeah, right. He doesn't go around picking fights with the other team. Like, he doesn't do that.
No, not feisty ball buster. That's Donaldson.
Yeah, Donaldson is a, you know, a lot of guys think he's a dirty player, too, that tries to hurt people, take people out on slides and things like that. And I'm going back a ways now. But he's always had that reputation. Again, he doesn't last long wherever he goes, which I think tells you plenty. Speaking of guys that could be moving on, Xander Bogaerts, the story that won't go away. David Ortiz addressed it yesterday at a charity golf tournament. We'll tell you what he said. It may surprise you. Here's
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Now more baseball and more Mavs.
Okay!
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There it is.
High fly ball way, way up there. And it is gone. Very high and just got into that front row. And Xander touches the ball for the fourth time this season. The ball has been flying at Fenway the last couple of days.
From last week, Xander Bogaerts homered. Red Sox are swinging the bats. But Bogaerts remains at the center of all discussion here for the team this year, particularly with Trevor Story now heating up. I said something last week to the effect of, boy, what a conundrum if you're a Red Sox fan. You probably love Xander Bogaerts, as you should. Bogaerts has been a good Red Sox for a long time. Spent half his life in the organization. And yet at the same time, you want the team to win. Not that those two things are mutually exclusive. But the point is, now that Trevor Story's here, you want Story to produce. Yet if Story produces, it gives the Red Sox leverage to basically escort Bogaerts out of town or open the door for him to leave. How about that? Put it however you want. I'm not going to say they're pushing him out the door, but it's basically that. In any case, I'll get to an email that someone sent me on that in a minute. But first, David Ortiz yesterday was at his charity golf tournament over at Braeburn. Chris Cotillo of Mass Live went over and talked to him and asked him about the Bogaerts situation. And if you haven't seen these comments, they may interest you. So here is what Ortiz said about Bogaerts. It would be stupid to let a guy like that go, to be honest with you, Ortiz said. I played with Bogey for a long time, and Bogaerts is the perfect player for any organization. He will represent this organization on and off the field. So that conversation needs to take place at any time. But again, it would be stupid to let a guy like that go, to be honest with you, Ortiz said. Jimmy Stewart or Murray, are you guys at all surprised that David Ortiz would say it that bluntly?
No, I'm not. No, he recognizes what he sees and how important of a player Xander Bogaerts is to this franchise.
Okay, but don't you think he's a Red Sox ambassador? Do you know what I mean? Go ahead.
To the point that he is, he's still outspoken and says what he says, because no matter what David Ortiz does, he's still going to get a paycheck.
Murray?
Yeah, he is to an extent, but at some point, you know, when you're fed up about a situation, he probably sees himself in the shoes of Xander Bogaerts, because Bogaerts, you know, I think idolized David Ortiz, so he probably has some sort of like kinship there and wants to protect him in some way, shape, or form. But he also knows how important he is on the field and off the field of the franchise.
Yeah.
This guy should, he is the face of it, like Ortiz was. And you're going to treat him like this, like he's an afterthought and going to be replaced by Trevor Story? He's right to be that blunt.
Remember, Ortiz once burst into a Terry Francona press conference to complain to Francona about a scoring decision because he wanted an RBI. Like, David will speak on anything passionately.
Oh, no. He speaks from the heart. But again, I don't want to say I was surprised. I would say that I give him a lot of credit for it. Because again, I think Ortiz is an organizational guy now. I think he has been for some time. And yet I give him credit for speaking out on this one, because they should sign Bogaerts. They absolutely should sign Bogaerts. What, the Red Sox are going to take themselves now out of the running for any guy that commands, call it, 8 to 10 years and $30 million a year? Well, if that's the case, good luck keeping great players or getting them at all. Good luck doing that. So what, the Red Sox want to be run like a small market team now? No way. I've lived it. No. Ortiz goes on. He says, to me, He's one of the most complete players and shortstops in the game right now. He does a little bit of everything. Excuse me. He's a clubhouse guy. He's a hardworking dude. Everybody loves him. You've never heard a coin drop about that guy, so he's perfect for this organization. The Red Sox, I believe they're going to take a moment to sit down and have that conversation with him to keep him around. That's a keeper. That guy is a keeper. Believe it or not, I don't want to hear the BS that there's somebody else out there in the market better. I know what I'm getting from Bogarts. That's why I want Bogarts. I know what I'm getting from him. I prefer to take that over. Let's see what's coming. In my clubhouse, on my team, I want him at shortstop for the next whatever, meaning number of years, because I know what I'm getting from him. So, look, I think that's how many of us feel. What, you're going to chase Xander Bogarts out of town? If Xander Bogarts is not worth a long-term commitment, then I'm not sure there's any other Red Sox player that is. And I'm talking about a guy who is hitting free agency after a certain number of years in the big leagues. I'm not talking about the Garrett Whitlocks of the world who have, you know, less than 2 years in the bigs and are eager to sign. That's different. A guy like that is, I think, critical, instrumental to the identity of your organization. And I don't just mean now. I mean the long-term identity of your organization. He represents everything you should want to be. Some guys are exceptions. Let me take a couple of calls. I want to get to that email as well. Dan's in Revere. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the Francy Cordero, Andrew Benintendi trade.
Sure.
I mean, here's a guy. He's a homegrown guy. And I sent it an email. I mean, he's tied for seventh in the league in hits this year. He had a real good year last year. I mean, if you want to tie it into the Bogarts thing, here's another homegrown guy that, in a walk year, had 2 years left on his deal, they got rid of. It's a scary trend, and I think that the return on this has been totally underwhelming. And look, the idea here was to be like the Dodgers, was to flex big money and pay premium talent. And, you know, it's starting to seem like they'll be lucky if they keep one of Bogart's endeavors after getting rid of Benny and Mookie.
Okay, so, Dan, I worry about it too, but I'll tell you what, Benintendi's not a guy I would typically sweat. And I'm not telling you he's playing poorly for the Royals. He's playing fine. He's, you know, the issue to me with Benintendi now is that Verdugo has gone in the tank on them. So the Betts deal looks like they got zero. And the reason to trade Benintendi, and I said this at the time, was he and Verdugo are the same player. On paper, they were the same player. Now, you look at it now, Benintendi's playing better. So did the Red Sox make the wrong call there? They should have traded one or the other. At the time, I wanted to trade Benintendi. But if you remember, at that time, I said trade him for pitching. Let's see how it goes with Benintendi here, but they traded him for volume. And forget Franchy Cordero. Josh Winkowski was in on that deal, and they got three kids in A-ball who we have no idea what they'll be for another 2 or 3 years. They're all the high teenagers, 18, 19 years old. But you're not wrong to question that Benintendi deal right now. I'll say that. Absolutely, you should be looking back on that deal. Not because they traded him at all, but because of what they got back for him. That's totally fair. And you can also ask, should they have traded Verdugo instead of him? Like, there's an evaluation thing there, too. But it felt like Benintendi and the organization had reached a point where they were banging heads together, and it just wasn't going to work. Nick's in Westport. Nick, go.
Yeah, man. So the Verdugo stuff, the way that doesn't happen is you don't trade bets for paperclips and ramen noodles. But anyway, I wanted to say that.
So, Nick, don't hang up. Let me just say this again. I'm of the belief that Mookie Betts did not want to be here. Okay, now what they got back for him, they absolutely screwed that up. But to be, Mookie was gone, and they were going to have to get something for him one way or the other, but it doesn't feel like they hit on anything on that trade. Go ahead.
No, I totally agree, but I digress from that. I wanted to say I don't want Xander Bogarts to leave, but however, if you do end up trading him, is there any possible way that they can try to work something out with getting Juan Soto from Washington?
So, Nick, look, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know Soto's contract situation, but why would they take on a 30-year-old Xander Bogarts and give up a 25-year-old Soto? or whatever he is. I mean, I just can't see how that would be appealing to the Nationals. So I love Soto as a player, but again, if you're the if you're Washington, you're going to want some elite prospects to replace a guy like that. Let me squeeze in one more call here. Mike in Providence on the Red Sox, before I get to the email I want to read to you. Go ahead, Mike.
Matt, three things. Was Bogaerts got the game-winning hit in a World Series and a pinch hitter role? Like, how many – what World Series was that?
He was he was in the 2013 and 2018 World Series, but I don't think he got a pinch hit. His biggest contributions in that 2013 season were playing third base at a functional level and showing good plate discipline, but he did not hit the cover off the ball.
All right, second thing. You said earlier today on the big show, Tony Maz show, you don't like when the Celtics are up by 20-2 like you did last night, right? But when the Red Sox are in the playoffs and the game is over in the third inning, 10-2, I love it. I love late-inning baseball that doesn't mean anything, and we're just clobbering the other team.
Okay, so, Mike, it's different. It's different. I'm just telling you, it's not that I don't like the fact that the Celtics won the game. Of course I like the fact that the Celtics won the game. What I don't like is that this series has been non-competitive. There's been no drama in the games. I'm talking purely as a viewer now or a spectator. The games have not been entertaining.
Mostly unwatchable, actually.
They've not been remotely entertaining games. I'm sorry. And it's got nothing to do with your team. I would tell you the games in the Western Conference haven't been all that entertaining either, but this has been worse. Just quickly, before I get back to your calls, I received an email today from, I think it was a guy named Mark, who says, Maz, parentheses, Chicken Little, if you're going to openly ask Boston sports fans to root against one of their players, parentheses, Jeremy Story, I think he meant Trevor, then you need to be consistent and ask fans to actively root against the Patriots or actively boycott games due to the obscenity of what Bill Belichick is currently doing, which is far worse than not signing Bogaerts. Okay, so first of all, again, we were talking about Bill Belichick and the way he's constructed that coaching staff. I never said, but what bugs me, Murray, more than anything, is when I get accused of saying things that I didn't say. I never said you have to root against Trevor Story. What I said is, if you are a Bogaerts fan and you want them to keep Bogaerts, don't you have to root against Trevor Story? I was saying it's a conundrum that your allegiances are in two different places. You want the team to win, which means rooting for Story to do well. But if you do that, it might mean sacrificing Bogaerts. So what do you do? I was trying to illustrate that there's a no-win decision to be made there if you are both a Red Sox fan and a Xander Bogaerts fan. I never told you to go to the ballpark and boo Trevor Story. I never, ever said that. By all accounts, Story's a good teammate. He's certainly a good player, and he's starting to play well. There's a lot to like about Trevor Story. I was talking about you. That's what I was talking about. How you have to balance that as a fan. It's one of the suck sides of being a fan. And believe me when I tell you, it's not unprecedented. It's happened over and over in sports, usually with the Red Sox. Curt Schilling was brought here in part to replace Pedro Martinez. That was part of the idea. We'll wrap it up with your calls when we come back in the baseball hour.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Like we always say, right? Winning is better than losing. It just, we've been playing good baseball. You know? Like it's just, you know, we're 1-7 or 1-6 in next training games. And that's obviously, you know, people will take it like it's a mark of a bad team, you know. Like, but if you win them, you're lucky, right? We just keep grinding and doing our thing. I think offensively, we're really good. We knew it coming into the season, and guys are putting good at bats. The communication is great. Let's see how it goes, you know, in Chicago.
That was Mets Alex Cora over the weekend at Fenway Park. After sweeping the Seattle Mariners, Red Sox will open a three-game series in Chicago tonight. Nick Pivetta on the mound. He will face Dylan Cease, a right-hander who, boy, he looked terrific against the Red Sox in that series here in Boston. Just quickly, the Red Sox lineup tonight, no surprises. Hernandez, Devers, Martinez, Bogarts, Verdugo, Trevor Story, Cordero at first base, Vasquez, Jackie Bradley, and Wright. And again, Nick Pivetta is your starting pitcher tonight. What else? I'll tell you what, we'll sneak in one phone call here quickly. Jake in a car on Trevor Story and Xander Bogarts. Go ahead, Jake.
So, I don't know if this is a bad idea or not, but should we be rooting for Trevor Story to fail so we can keep Xander Bogarts?
Well, so this is my question, Jake. You know, and again, I recognize it's a unique circumstance, but it's not unprecedented. Like, if you are a big Xander Bogarts person, you're a big Xander Bogarts fan, and you want him to stay, well, the chances of that get better if Trevor Story plays poorly. Then the Red Sox might be less inclined to let Bogarts go out the door because they're not convinced that Trevor Story is the player they thought he was. Now, I would tell you that might be wishful thinking, that in all probability they've already made their mind. So the fact that Trevor Story is here tells you that they've already decided they're going to let Xander Bogarts go. So I'm not sure the two are connected, but I'm just wondering how a fan feels about it. That was my only point of that whole thing. So I'm starting to regret asking the question, Murray, if you want to know the truth. I don't know. It just blows me away that people can't understand the dueling elements there. If you root for one thing to happen that you want, it might lead to something else that you don't want. That's sort of the conundrum if you're a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, we want gray. We don't want black or white.
Speaking of conundrums, Adam Jones.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.